All right, so we're going to be moving into our sharing portion of the service. Our students are getting ready to grab some chairs and set up here. Just let me give you a little background. So if you are unfamiliar, the Life Conference is a conference that our denomination, which is the Christian and Missionary Alliance, puts on every 3 years for high school students. It is the biggest conference that the CMA does. Like I mentioned earlier, there are over 6,000 students gathered this week. From all over the nation and even around the world, as a lot of MKs in Puerto Rico and things like that were involved. So it's really fun just to see the greater body of the Alliance youth family there. So we were there a week, and part of that experience is, you guys saw the video, right? Hopefully that gave you enough background that you saw big pictures of what this was like. So now what we're going to do is we're going to be sharing our experience and kind of the things that we did and our takeaways and things like that. Are we ready to do this? I think, Kanasia, are you up first? Yep, she is. All right.
Some things that we did in Indianapolis is go to Rascal's Fun Zone. Rascal's Fun Zone is a very fun place. They offer indoor go-karts, outdoor go-karts, water boats, and even an arcade. We went to a WNBA basketball game. The teams that played was the Indiana Fever versus the Las Vegas Aces. We also went to the Sports Legend Museum. There was something different in each room. My favorite part about the museum was the outside part, because there was a lot of different things to do, like basketball, football, baseball, and more.
Okay, so every day there were two main sessions that we went to. There was one in the morning and then one in the evening. So I'm going to talk about the Sunday night session. So this session, it really spoke to me, not just the sermon, but also the worship. So the pastor who spoke, his name was Rich, and he talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit. He described how there are three postures the church has with the Holy Spirit, and that is to forget it, force it, or fear it. He talked about a kite and how he flew it with his family. He had a whole story with it. And he explained how a kite has no spirit until it is flown. He said how that's the same with Christians, how you don't experience Christ until you felt his spirit. He said with the kite how the wind blows wherever it pleases. The Holy Spirit acts as wind, and he wants to blow you towards Christ and to a relationship with him. He said how, and you might be uncomfortable when the wind blows you, but it's important to do what Christ wants you to do. Another important thing he said during that time was that when you use a tea bag, when you're making tea, to be a dweller and not dip it constantly into the cup. You want to dwell in Christ and his presence. And then the last thing he left us with was that the Holy Spirit renews your life and makes you new. Then we went into a time of worship after the sermon, and I think that was really impactful to a lot of us. So he invited all the leaders to spread out throughout the room. And then he invited the students to go up and receive prayer if they wanted. He wanted to give us time to receive the Holy Spirit and just feel the presence of God. And so some of us younger girls invited my mom over, and we were prayed for by her. That was just a really special moment that we felt the presence of God together. And then afterward, my friend gave me this thought, who she doesn't go to this church, but she was saying that there were 6,000 prayers going on in that room, and God heard every one of them. And that was just really impactful to know that, like, God knows all of us, and he wanted a relationship with every single one of us in that room.
Okay, so. Okay, so I picked main sessions, and so I picked Saturday, and it was a night session. And her name was Shelby, and the topic she talked about was identity. And I wrote down some like notes that really spoke out to me. And your identity is not a position to earn, a identity to receive. The more our capacity grows within our hearts, deceive and rest in his love. Identity is not something can conceive, it's something we receive. God can only heal the real you, not the person you're pretending to be. So that's what I wrote down.
The sermon that I get to talk about is the one about healing, and it was about a guy who his daughter died, and he had to realize that in order to be healed through Christ, you first have to go through suffering and pain. And I just thought that that one really spoke to me.
One of the sessions in the morning that we went to was by this lady named Jada, and she talked about not like saying you're a Christian, but then not acting on that, and the importance of doing what the Bible says and making sure that you're like showing Christ through your actions, and then backing up that like you show yourself as a Christian in society.
One of the seminars that I had went to was the Inside Out of Life, Growing Faith from the Inside Out. And it was like a lot of things we talked that he talked about in there was the things that we put out into the world and how it's a reflection of ourselves sometimes. And something that I wrote down was slowing down, and it's taking time to slow down and to invite God into the process and stop pretending that everything is okay and you're allowed to struggle. And you have to be able to meet God from a genuine and real place and bring your worries and troubles before God. And it's hard to have a real encounter with God from where you pretend that you're okay. And there's stuff that is happening in the background and that keep us from growing. And the best way to deal with that is to confront it and bring it to God.
I'm going to be sharing a seminar that I went to. It's about missions, and it really impacted me because it talked about missions and missionaries, and it talked about the many people. One fact that I want to share was there was 1,000 people that said yes to Jesus at this seminar, and they said yes to missionaries. And that really impacted me because at the whole conference, I felt like God was calling me to be a missionary with my time. I am going into healthcare, so I feel like he was calling me to be a missionary nurse and stuff like that. So one of the many questions God was asking me was, what story will I have to tell? As a sophomore in high school, I never imagined stepping into missionary work. I never thought of it. I never had a thought about it until one powerful moment when I felt God calling me to say yes. I may not know where exactly God is leading me, but I'm learning to trust him step by step. I also went to a missions experience that Devin will be talking about with you guys, but I just want to share this Hall of Famer that really inspired me. Her name is Betty Green. She was the first woman to fly over the Andrews Mountains, who used her gifts to serve others by bringing the gospel, medical care, food, and water to remote places for nearly 30 years. Her story reminds me that God can use anyone who is willing. My prayer is to follow that example with faith and a heart ready to serve wherever he is sending me.
So I picked to speak about one of the seminars I went to while I was at Life. It was, one seminar was called Already Loved and Living Like You're God's Favorite. It sounded a little selfish, but I'll show you later. So it was about two things. It was about how we are already loved by God, and it doesn't matter what we've done in our past, it doesn't matter what we've done. Once we accept him, we are already forgiven. And secondly, that after we need to treat God like he's the best friend we've ever had. And so we can have conversations with God and spend time just to hang out with him and talk to him about everything. A problem I have in my prayer life, I felt like, was a lot of the time I only pray or ask God when I need help or when I want to thank him for something or I need to make a decision. But this really helped me learn that I can have conversations with him whenever and whatever.
My name's Levi, and I went to a seminar about experiencing God in word and truth. So one thing there was a study, and it found that, like, to be an acquaintance, you need, like, 20 hours or something of spending time with them. And to become a best friend, you needed, like, 120-plus hours. So the only way you can really experience, like, a good relationship is by spending time. So if you want intimacy with God, you need to spend time with him. And that's something within your control, because you can spend time with someone. That's something you decide. And there was also a study that found the more frequently you confess your sin, the more likely you are to share your faith. Although it's a correlation, it's not really a direct cause. Like, that's going to happen. But that was kind of interesting. Because when you confess your faith, you realize that the freedom God gave you, you can forgive, or others can receive eternal salvation, and they don't have to live with the consequences of sin. So your life is transformed by the Spirit when you spend time with Jesus, and you can be changed in the presence of the living God. So to hear God's voice is your own ability. And then he shared a, it's from the, like, 6th century, and it was from, I think, Gregory, but it's called Lectio Divina, and it's, like, this process where you meditate on a passage of Scripture, and then you just think and reflect over what God's doing. Usually you do it with other people, but the first thing you do is, like, you take a while of distractions, so whatever you need to do, like breathing or just like focusing on like getting everything out of the way. And then you take a passage and read it a few times and then reflect on what it's saying. And then you share with others what you heard. And then you take time to just meditate and like pray. And then hear what God's saying to you and listen.
Hello. My name is Savannah. My name is Savannah, and I'm going to talk about the activity hall. So basically, the activity hall was somewhere where, like, most of the kids would go, like, during breaks between, like, the seminar and, like, the meals, like, a break between, like, the seminars and the session, which was a very long time. And they had, like, booths in there that had, like, bracelets. I got some on. There was colleges in there. Like, the colleges, they had, like, games. They gave out shirts, food. Sadly, no Cheetos. and they also had laser tag, soccer, basketball, pickleball, spike ball, skating. Yeah, they had a lot of stuff, and it was really fun to go into.
Hi, my name is Louie, and I'm going to be talking about one of the three experiences that were at Life. The experiences were basically just like walk through little activities that everyone could go through at certain times. And the one I'll be talking about is the Justice Experience. The Justice Experience had many rooms that showed different injustices around the world, whether it be underpaid workers or homelessness or like kids that got bullied in schools for being different. It wasn't a pleasant experience going through the first time. It made you feel uneasy and unhappy over time. And at the end of each room, they had you take a red bracelet that demonstrated the injustice in that room. And as you went through each room, you got more bracelets, which signified the weight of the injustices, not only on you, but on the people around the world that felt it. And at the end, at the final room, there was a video that showed all of the people coming to God and demonstrating their lives and how they changed through God. And you got a white bracelet that signified all of the injustice fading away with God.
Hi. I'm going to be talking about the prayer experience. And what can I say? I mean, it was really life-altering, I guess. I don't know. I liked it because it had a lot of reflecting and also these boards that had scriptures on them and rocks that we took. And I think, I'm sorry, my memory is terrible. It was cool. It was cool.
All right, hey guys, my name's DJ, or Devin. I don't really care what you call me. Anyway, I'm going to be talking about one of the experiences. I'm talking about the mission experience. We got to participate in it, and during the experience, we go from room to room. These rooms are connected. The point of this experience is for us to experience and learn. In this experience, we learn about how in certain countries with millions of people, there's a very small amount of Christians in some of these countries. For example, in Afghanistan, there's 2.9% of the population there that consists of Christians, and the population consists of 41.4 million people. You do the math and you get 1.2 million people out of the 41.4 million people that consist of Christians. And I just think that's kind of mind-blowing because there's a lot more like of countries that have a smaller amount of Christians in some of these countries. And anyway, missionaries are sent to a lot of these countries where there aren't as many Christians to hopefully convert some of the people to Christians and help them find Jesus. So yeah, and then my favorite thing about life.
Okay, so one of the things that I had did at Life with Sarah was making backpacks for kids going into the new school year. So we got a list of things to do, and we put them in the bag, and we wrote cards for the kids and prayed over it, and yeah, and then we made draw on a little backpack picture, put our names on it, and put it on the board. That was fire.
So during the last couple of days, we had a fundraiser for two foundations, and we were able to raise $116,000 for their foundations. One of the foundations was Life in the Netherlands, which is basically what it sounds like. It's just a life that they put on in the Netherlands. The other one was a gym in France for kids with like special needs and that have disabilities, for them to just play and have a safe place to meet other kids that are like them, and so they don't have to feel left out or different than others.
So before we move into we're gonna share our favorite thing and then what we learned, but I totally forgot to show our video. So we're gonna take a little pause here in the sharing. We're gonna watch our video so you'll see our pictures and things like that. So go ahead and do that video, Luke, and then I'm gonna give you guys a think about what you're gonna say next.
Hands up!
Yeah.
right, so now what we are going to share, everyone is going to share your favorite thing. Favorite thing.
Hey, guys. My favorite thing was probably when we got to, like, the day we came there to Indianapolis, and we went to this restaurant, and I had got an Alfredo bowl, but it didn't come yet, and Ciesia and Hannah got, like, a bowl that they were sharing, and then they dropped it off in front of me, so everybody thought I had this ginormous bowl of, like, pasta, and yeah, that was... I did still eat some of it, though.
My favorite thing was probably my first seminar that I went to. It was called Grow Down, How to Build a Jesus-Centered Faith, and there's even a book about it, by Kenny Castor. And he had a really good message. The book focuses on spiritual growth and uses the image of a tree to paint a powerful picture, illustrating how a follower of Christ must be deeply rooted in Jesus to receive the strength and nourishment needed to stand firm in life. Just as a healthy tree naturally produces fruit, provides shade, and breathes in its surroundings, a believer grounded in Christ will naturally impact others. What struck me most was how trees do not force itself to grow or bear fruit. It simply stays rooted and receives what it needs from the soil. In the same way, we remain connected to Jesus. Growth is a natural outcome. I learned that true spiritual maturity doesn't come from striving alone, but from surrendering, staying connected to Him, and allowing His Spirit to do the work in and through us.
One of my favorite things, well, I have a couple, but my favorite things from life were the seminars. I felt like it helped me learn and grow a lot. And also lunch was pretty, it was okay. It wasn't that good in the first 2 days, but it was okay. I kind of ate my fork on accident. So there was that, but that happened. So anyways, the rest of life was pretty fire. And yeah.
My favorite part about life was the sessions. I mean, they weren't sessions, but when our whole group would come together, like, at the end of the day, and we would play games and stuff, I did a little vlog, and it was really fun, and we got to meet a lot of new people while playing those games, and yeah.
I'd say my favorite thing was definitely the worship. They had a really good praise team that was up there singing songs. And it was just cool to, like, sing together with, like, 6,000 other people in the room. And then a couple of us lost our voices at the end of the week, so that was pretty funny.
My favorite thing was skating and pushing Savannah off the bed.
My favorite thing would have to be the Rascal Funzo place, because it was really fun. And then we got to, like, ride go-karts and stuff, so that was fun.
I did, like, the seminars, but I also played, like, a ton of volleyball, which was really great.
My favorite thing was probably, like, building everything and watching how it was constructed.
My favorite thing was probably the main sessions in the morning and evening and the activity hall.
My favorite thing was playing spike ball. I've probably played, like, 4 hours of spike ball each day. So that was fun, though, because we got to meet old friends from our old church and then connect with new ones from people with other churches. So that was fun.
My favorite thing was also spike ball. We both played like 4 hours. I mean, he did beat me in a 1v1. Yeah, so that sucks. Anyway, yeah, spike ball is basically a game where there's like a little...
My favorite thing was definitely meeting so many new people from all the different churches around the world. I just thought it was so cool that so many people could come together in just so, like, so little space just to do the same thing. I thought that was really cool.
Um, I had two favorite things. One was just being able to hang out with all of these guys because you don't usually get to see them, you know, for like more than a couple hours a week. So being able to spend, you know, 17 hours a day together was very fun, a little bit challenging at times, as you can imagine. But it was just great to see our group just get closer together and just watching them praise during worship and being excited about the things that they're learning and coming back out small group time and just saying all the things that they took notes on and wanted to like tell everybody all the things that they learned was just really encouraging to us. It was also really cool to see they got a little bit different of experience. Mike and I have been a part of the Justice Experience team for the last year planning one of the experiences that Louis had talked about. And so we actually went early to try and put it all together, and they naturally got to be a part of that because we had to be there. So they woke up very early, multiple days, and just hauled things through the convention center and set up rooms and went through it as guinea pigs to try and help the trainers to be able to learn what they were doing. But to see that come to life and then to be able to see all the kids that went through it and just were impacted by the things that go on in our world and what does God want you to be a part of was just really cool for us to be able to see it come full circle.
I was literally going to say the exact same things for my favorite things, so I'm not going to say it. So we're going to move on. So your big takeaway.
My big takeaway was probably when, like, I don't know, during a session, I just felt like God, like one of the sessions, I just felt like God was speaking to me during one of them. I don't know. He was telling me to do something. I don't know. I forgot. It was a long week. But I don't know. I feel like this trip has changed me since we've been back. I don't know. I guess that's my big takeaway.
My big takeaway was that only God can truly heal us, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But if we choose to turn away from him, we risk missing out the peace, purpose, and blessings he wants to give us. Saying no to God may seem small in the moment, but it can keep us from experiencing the fullness of his healing and love.
My big takeaway was that I really felt like with all of the seminars that I went to, even the one where it got super scientific and I don't understand that stuff, that I had something to learn from all of them and that God was really speaking towards me. And it also made me want to get into missionary and just spread God's word.
My big takeaway was definitely that God speaks to us in different ways and forms. And the only way we can really hear him is if we lock in and spend time with God and just take time out of our day, even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, to just be in quietness and stillness with him and not only just pray to him and just have a one-way conversation, but also to receive and try to hear what he has to say to us too.
My big takeaway came from the last session or seminar that I went to, that he was talking about how you have to have a friendship with God. You can't just love him, you have to like him. And so it's just saying to spend more time with him, like talk to him about anything, like he also had a day. So ask God how his day was and he can speak to you in crazy ways.
My biggest takeaway was Tuesday night that I got really close to God and I start talking to him like daily, like how's your day and stuff. Just like don't talk to God when you need stuff, talk to him daily.
My big takeaway had to be during the morning sessions. I don't know why, he just like spoke. Like God just spoke to me during the morning sessions and I got a better relationship with him.
The seminar that I went to, there was like the time of like reflection, and I heard God like talk to me about sharing like the gospel with others, and like tapping into the Spirit for transformation in my life. So I just thought that was really like and really powerful because I've been good at sharing the gospel with others, and it's kind of like the duty of Christians. And I mean, we want to save people from like destruction, and we only have the power to do that. And so I was able to talk to my friend, my neighbor, a little bit about Jesus. I think I invited him to like church a while ago, but it's kind of nice that I actually put that into practice like soon after. So
my biggest takeaway, well, I should say that first, before we went to life, I was like, man, this is going to be boring. Like, I'm not going to have any fun here. But then once I went, I was like, why didn't I like think this was going to be fun in the first place? I want to go back. So
my biggest takeaway is probably one of the session. It was in the session I shared about how I know that so God wants to have a personal relationship with me, and I feel like I've done a much better job with being friends with him since we came home.
My big takeaway is probably like find your identity in Christ, and like not don't care what the world thinks of you and what others think of you or what you have or what you own, and just yeah.
I was gonna say something funny, but forget about it. So my big takeaway is to pay attention to how the wind is moving in my life, or pay attention to how the wind of the Spirit is moving in my life, because I feel like I often see the signs that God is giving me and see what he's trying to do, and I'll still go the other direction and think that that's not a sign of something or that's not what I'm supposed to be doing, even though that's where the wind is going and I need to go in the wind's direction and just listen to the Holy Spirit if I want to get closer to Jesus.
My biggest takeaway was that God follows you wherever you go. It doesn't matter if you're in Indianapolis or in Ohio. He's always there. It doesn't matter where you are in your house, if you're on your lawn. It doesn't matter if you're in outer space. He's always there. He's always with you.
My big takeaway, I was reminded of just the faithfulness of God in the midst of everything. Sometimes in student ministry, there's not a ton of fruit that you see and you get to experience. But it was really cool. You guys heard Gabe mention the fact that we got to connect with our old church. God gave me this amazing glimpse of what he's been doing, where all of the leaders that came with my old church where I used to serve were all former students of mine. So they had four adult leaders there, and all four of them came through my youth group that I had a part in their story. And that was just really cool that God, you get to see the cycle, right? You get to see people pouring into the next generation. And that was such a blessing, and I just praise God for his faithfulness in the midst of all that.
My big takeaway was probably just remembering how God could use our weakness. I was tired at life. I was real tired. I think we just felt our age a little bit more this time around, which I was not expecting. And I'm like, no, I'm still young. I can still do all the things and stay up until midnight and wake up at 6 a.m. ready to go. And just like the Lord just pouring into me and be like, no, I got you. Like, I can still work in you even if you're tired, even if you're a little bit grouchy, and even if you see things that you don't think are going great, you know, whatever, like, I will still work. And he did. And I know that, I mean, they're not sharing all the things because this is a little bit nerve-wracking for them, but God really did do some great things in the lives of our students this week, and it was just really amazing to be able to see that and be a part of their story, and just to know that this is not the end, right? This is just the beginning for them, and they are going to continue to grow and to learn and to be challenged and encourage one another. And we just want to say thank you to all of you guys. You have prayed for us for over a year. You have prayed for us diligently while we were gone. You have showed up to the walleye and to the mud hens. You have given generously. And we just want to say just a huge thank you. We would not be able to take all these kids if it wasn't for all of you. And we would not have felt your prayers if you were not praying. So we just want to say thank you. Everybody else say thank you.
Thank you.
And we're excited to see what God's going to continue doing. Feel free to ask these kids questions about things. They will talk to you. They are not shy, right? So, just thank you so much. Just from our hearts to yours, we just appreciate everything that you guys were in this story with us.